Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Paul's calling HR on me because he took a bad picture.
You didn't listen. Without
my consent.
Not bad
as in dirty. Bad as in I took a selfie of us, and I actually like it of me.
Yeah.
But it's not Paul's best
No, it looks
look.
Terrible. And look, I'm a vain little peacock. So don't. Please don't post it. Don't do it.
No, I
don't,
won't.
Don't do
I
it.
I won't.
I don't care if it sounds like I'm whining like a little baby right now.
But I am.
I need to get my way.
I actually feel you on this.
I look like I just found out that Tom Brady died, so it's not great.
Oh my God, that's going to be a terrible day for you.
Yeah, it's immortal. Don't. Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Okay, I'm sorry. I laugh.
He's immortal. It's not going to happen. He's divine. Thank you. Okay.
I laugh in awkward situations. So instead of being like, wow, that'll be terrible, I'm like, wow, that'll be terrible.
No, that was just the Colts fan inside.
What a bummer when that happens. All right. Meanwhile, the quarterback carousel kind of continues. Look, the new league year is starting soon in the NFL. So we anticipate that there will be moves made. I've said this from the get-go. I don't think it's a hot take. I think it's logic that Deshaun Watson, if he lands somewhere, that's a big piece of that quarterback carousel. The other obvious one is Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
But then you have these kind of wild cards. You have Kyler Murray, who seemed to be mad about something with the Cardinals. He deleted or archived all of the pictures on his Instagram of the Cardinals. And then you have Russell Wilson that every year kind of complains about some things, and we'll get to a quote unquote report on him.
So glad I left.
In a second. Let's hear from my girl Jane Slater, who works for NFL Network. She's an awesome reporter. She always kind of has the scoop. Let's hear what Jane had to say about the situation involving Kyler Murray.
We'll get to Jane later. I don't think we have Jane in front of us.
Oh, okay. Oh, we don't have that sound. Okay. So
we're great at this.
It is.
We have like one moment like this every single
day.
Yeah,
we do.
But we at least have the excuse of we're just starting off on
the
air.
Do.
It's fine. We're figuring it out.
Jane Slater had a report on NFL Network. She says everything's great between Murray and the team.
Right.
What's this word? Copacetic?
Copacetic.
Copacetic.
Okay.
Jane Slater with the big words.
We're learning how to say words. Like, you can't say Gutekunst. You do say Josh McCown kind of weird.
Okay. Why do people think that?
You say McCowan.
Josh McCown.
It's McCown.
Josh McCown.
Okay. So this must be an Indiana thing.
Josh McCown.
There's like a third syllable that you're adding to it. Josh McCown.
The Texans interviewed Josh McCown.
Josh McCown.
McCarn?
Okay, no, that's a lost cause. Brian Gutekunst, lost cause. Fine, we'll get it on this. Copacetic.
Copacetic.
Got it.
Jane Slater of NFL Media. Jane with the big words reports that everything is copacetic between Murray and the team, and that they are on the same page as they look towards the future. That includes conversations about exercising his fifth-year option for the 2023 season or agreeing to terms on a long-term deal that would set Murray up for an even longer run in Arizona.
What a bummer. Honestly, Kyler Murray, look, this is probably best for the Cardinals, but way to just completely underdeliver on the drama. You know, I thought when you deleted all those things that it meant something. And now that he gets called for it, he turtles. He backs down. He has that post on Instagram where he's in a Cardinals uniform. Like, clearly he regrets every single step that he has taken along the way. And now I just look at him and I'm like, why did you do it all then? What was the point?
Yeah, what was it for?
Were you in your feelings? Did you think that it was going to help you get a fifth-year option? Because all that has resulted is we have seen anonymous sources leak all of the things that maybe people outside of Phoenix didn't know about Kyler Murray and his habits as a leader and things like that. Like, that's the only result that has come. And instead of, you know, sticking with it, he has essentially, through his, I guess, sources and through the people that would put things out there for him to do his own public relations work for him, he has essentially turtled.
Let's talk about sources.
Sources?
You're
a reporter, so you have them.
Yes.
I don't.
Jordan Schultz, who works for, he's at ESPN, right? Or, no, he was.
I think it's like the Huffington Post
or
something like that.
Yeah, now he's Huffington Post, and then he does a good podcast with CJ McCollum, who I like a lot as well. I like Jordan. I think he seems like a really nice guy.
I'm not allowed to like Jordan Schultz because having worked in Seattle, anyone that is associated with the Schultz family is an enemy of Seattle and therefore an enemy of me.
Jordan's dad founded Starbucks?
Founded Starbucks, but also was a big part of the Seattle Sonics, Supersonics moving from Seattle to Oklahoma. Like, why? Anyway, continue.
So Jordan tweets this. Colts owner Jim Irsay is a huge Russell Wilson fan and would love to trade for him, a league source says. Indy, however, I want you guys to really hear this. Indy, however, has zero first-round picks to bargain with, making a potential trade much more difficult. Wilson, as we know, has a no-trade clause as well. So I want to go over the middle of this. So Jim Irsay likes Russell Wilson. Indy, however, has zero first-round picks to bargain with. Yeah! I mean, do you think that owners don't like Patrick Mahomes? You think, I mean, like, it reports like this that seep during the offseason, and I do get what Jordan Schultz is trying to say, which is, hey, and he's a big Russell Wilson guy. You know, he's in Seattle. I get what reporters try to do during the offseason, which is say, okay, there are certain owners that like certain players, but a deal can't happen because of this. But the other thing that's been happening with sources involved Aaron Rodgers, and this was a much, much worse offense. And I saw this because Aaron Andrews actually quote tweeted it and said, so good. Aaron Rodgers on Tuesday, I'll make a decision soon. Sports media on Thursday, sources say Rodgers will make a decision soon. So the source is Rodgers, in his own words. We saw a lot of that this week, too.
Yeah.
Hashtag off season. And I love reporters. I respect reporters.
No, I hate this.
I'm about to see a lot of them at the combine. And I get that when it's a slow news day or whatever, but some of it, like you have Aaron Rodgers saying things in his own words.
Yep.
And then they pull it and act like they reported it.
This isn't a report because every owner in the NFL that doesn't have a quarterback would like Russell Wilson, but
doesn't have picks.
If you have zero first round picks, shut up. Like no one cares. You know, right. You're not getting Russell Wilson. No one's getting Russell Wilson as it is anyway, because the Seahawks don't want to trade him. But you're going to hear this all offseason, and it's funny. Remember last offseason, the Chicago Bears wanted to trade for Russell Wilson. They had diddly-poo, but that was put out there. The Bears would love to trade for Russell Wilson, and they were like, yeah, we'll offer you a guy that we're cutting. And they cut him 3 days later. It was I think it was a cornerback or something like that, and that was part of the big Godfather offer that they were giving. And I remember seeing this because I was like on vacation and it pulled me out of vacation because I was so pissed just about how stupid this report was. And I started using my thumbs to tweet while on vacation. I understand why people put that out there, but it's almost like they're just trying to get engagement. And then you have all these dreamers who are fans of team X, Y, or Z. And I would say here in Indy's case, that are going to say, oh, it's going to happen. Oh, yeah. Well, this doesn't matter. You can't force a trade. This isn't right. Your idiot friend in your fantasy football league who's going to give you basically whatever you want because he doesn't know what's happening or he's an absentee owner or something like this.
The quarterback situation will be interesting in the AFC South next season. I'm anticipating Davis Mills starting for the Texans. I am not anticipating Carson Wentz being back with the Colts. Obviously, we know Tannehill with the Titans. And then
hang on a second with Tannehill with the Titans. Are you sure?
No, that's true.
I mean, he sucked in that game.
He was really bad.
Against the Bengals.
He's the thing that's actually holding them back for making a run in the playoffs. But Trevor Lawrence, I am excited to see Trevor Lawrence with a real head coach in Doug Peterson. Not only a head coach, but a head coach that's won a Super Bowl that can develop him. Trevor Lawrence will no longer have to worry about his coach staying behind and getting lap dances at bars.
I wonder just how good he is. And I say this because I used to have a theory, and I think a lot of people actually have the same theory about quarterbacks at USC, where if a quarterback plays at USC and comes into the NFL, sorry, I'm not expecting much out of him. I guess Carson Palmer's the exception here, but Matt Leinart or Matt Barkley or Mark Sanchez or who was the most recent guy? Off the top of my head, I don't remember. But USC quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, thank you very much, Noah Behind the Glass. These guys get drafted early. These guys play at USC, which is almost always the most talented team in the Pac-12. And over the course of the year, are you really being tested when you're playing with a team that's just about more talented than anybody except for maybe Oregon? And I thought because of guys like that, that if you take a look at someone like Trevor Lawrence, who played at Clemson, who has all sorts of unbelievably great things that you can't teach. He's got a great arm. He can run. He's shown some obvious signs that he could be a really good player. But I was never buying hook, line, and sinker to Trevor Lawrence while he was at Clemson, because Clemson's that one team in the ACC that's better than everybody. And I know, look, with Deshaun Watson, it's a little bit different. With what we've saw from Deshaun Watson, Watson's truly special. But I don't know. There's something about Trevor Lawrence, Vanessa, and I watch probably more ACC football than I ever should because I root for Syracuse. I went to Syracuse. Syracuse is bad at football. But I'll watch a lot of Clemson, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm not that impressed by Trevor Lawrence. So it could be Doug Peterson that makes it better, significantly better than Urban Meyer. And honestly, I mean, Urban Meyer was so bad last year. It stands to reason that just by default, like anyone else other than Urban Meyer, it'll be better for him. But I wonder about it with Trevor Lawrence. I'm not 100% sold he's going to be a superstar.
More about the tools that were around him.
It might be about him. You know, I think it could very well
be. Yeah, but I'm saying you're saying he was good because he had all the tools around him.
I think he was good because he was never challenged. I don't think anyone ever really challenged Clemson until they got into the college football playoff, and he wasn't that impressive in the college football playoff.
I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens. Obviously, Deshaun Watson, the main storyline, but a lot of AFC South quarterbacks will be storylines for sure. All right, coming up, a report just got out that Sean Payton could be joining the number one broadcast team at Fox as Aikman heads for ESPN. We asked you yesterday, what's your NFL fantasy announcer lineup? We'll talk a little bit about that and talk about the chess moves that we'd like to see among announcers coming up.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are locked in with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
So I keep hearing over and over and over again, nobody watches games for announcers, so why does it matter that Troy Aikman is leaving for ESPN, blah, blah, blah. While I see the point and I see where people are going with that, I turn off games because of announcers.
I mute games because of announcers.
Yeah, no, so to me it's like, is the announcer the most important thing? Absolutely not, but you want your experience to be enjoyable when you watch a game, which is why Troy Aikman exiting Fox for ESPN, everybody thought it was going to be Amazon. I mean, that was the move that was going to be made, but we now know it'll be ESPN, most likely at least. And we now know who could fill his seat at Fox. So it appears, and this is according to Front Office Sports, they're always really good and they're always really on it, and you have opinions on this, that Sean Payton is negotiating with Fox Sports to become, and this is according to Front Office Sports, Fox's number one NFL game analyst, meaning he would be paired with Joe Buck. I am a little surprised by the fact that they would make him number one. I thought, like, my guess would have been that they would have moved Greg Olson from the number two crew with Kevin Burkhart to being with Joe Buck and then maybe slide Sean in with the number two crew.
Taste is different for everybody, but you know, the reason I could understand why they elevated Romo right away to the number one job on CBS is because he has energy. And I do not think that you can teach energy in this industry. You either have it or you don't. On the front with Sean Payton, I don't know that he has that necessarily, and I really wonder what it is that they think is going to sound, how things are going to sound right out of the chute. But Joe Buck's obviously a pro and has been doing this for years and years and years, and assuming Joe Buck stays, because it doesn't sound like that's a certainty either. It sounds like ESPN's trying to poach Joe Buck away. That's their first plan, and then if that doesn't work out, they'll try to get Al Michaels back on ABC, on ESPN. But in this situation, I don't get why these networks feel that a guy with zero experience is going to be worthy of primetime billing. I just don't feel that way with Sean Payton. I do think Sean Payton's one of the most important coaches in the NFL over the last 20 years or so. Clearly has had success. But is Sean Payton going to come in and is Sean Payton going to actually be critical of people that he just worked with? Because in the case with Romo, guess what? Romo can be nice and smiley and
energetic. Energy,
right.
Yeah.
If Payton is not going to come after people and say, like, why did he make that decision X, Y, Z over the course of the game, I don't get what the appeal is other than, oh, he was one of the best coaches in the NFL last year.
I think they view it as possibly low risk, high reward. Now,
But it's high risk, isn't it?
Well, it depends on how long they sign him for a contract. If they sign him to a one-year deal, and it would still be bad publicity if it didn't work out. But I think Sean could do well in the role. I do think that Tony Romo has changed the game, not only financially, which we talked about earlier, but that thought process that you just said. They slid him into the number one role.
Yeah.
And it, look, some people are getting tired of it. It is a little bit of a shtick, but it's worked.
That was an interesting offseason when the Texans were looking at quarterbacks, and then all of a sudden he ends up signing with CBS. Because Romo, I remember his name was thrown in there a lot, and I was like, I don't know, Jim. Last couple of times I've watched Romo out there, not looking the same guy, gets hurt a lot. If Sean Payton wants to coach the Cowboys, like everyone seems to think, and maybe that's something that Fox has inside knowledge on, that he walked away because they're going to offer him this big deal to do broadcasting. But, I mean, a lot of people seem to think that after this coming season, now that Sean Payton is no longer the head coach of the Saints, with Mike McCarthy not very convincing as the head coach of the Cowboys, that Payton's going to be the next coach of the Cowboys. So, you know, low risk. You might have 1 year of this.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. We talk about quarterback carousels, but the media carousel does
start.
No, I really do, too. And here's the thing.
We might be too in the weeds because we're in the game, but...
Right. Well, but people talk about it. So all of the folks on Twitter that are like, nobody cares, that is false because people are tweeting and talking about it a lot.
We care, and we're going to force it down your throats.
Broadcasting news.
I mean, there's been a lot of speculation, too, about how this could move things around. So ESPN, there is a report that they're going for Joe Buck, trying to get him out of his deal with Fox 1 year early so that they could obviously bring him in with Troy and have them on ESPN. I don't see that happening because I think Joe likes doing the World Series too much on Fox. Their second choice, if Joe Buck will not come, is apparently Al Michaels. So if ESPN could get Al Michaels, he would be their number two choice. And again, this would just be so funny because Amazon, it was like, seemed like all but a done deal. All of the people that write the TV reports that do a really good job were saying it is going to be Al Michaels and Troy Aikman on Amazon, period. And now we have Troy going to ESPN and Al, it's kind of up in the air.
Brent Musburger to Amazon, give him a bottle of scotch every single game and let's just see where it goes.
And just have Catherine Webb just in the stand randomly. Every red-blooded American young man just went to the backyard to start playing football.
How many hot people can Musburger find in the crowd over the course of a game? I would listen to that broadcast. As someone who equally needs bonks from time to time for being a little too horny, I would love that.
Okay, if I can't say 411, you can't say
I'm horny, baby.
I'm calling HR.
Well, listen, I'm just quoting Austin Powers. I'm not saying how I actually am.
Speaking of media moves, PointsBet, which is a gambling site, is courting Adam Schefter. His contract is up soon. That would be interesting.
Schefter doesn't need to work for anybody, really. I mean, that information he gives, it's online, and everyone essentially goes to Schefter for news. So I'm sure this is a negotiating tactic because I've never heard of that website. Sounds like
it's gotten more popular. They have podcasts and all
O-R-G.
That. It is probably, but to your point, it is probably anytime you, and if anybody knows how to leak something, it's Adam Schefter.
Yeah.
So when you see something like this and you think, oh, would he go there? That's probably a safe assumption.
I'm Adam Schefter for ilikegambling.edu. And here's the latest on what's going on. I don't really enjoy watching Schefter break things down on television.
You don't? Interesting.
No, not really. I feel like he always hyperbolizes things. I think that I remember one time, a couple of seasons after Tom Brady had his, and of course it always comes back to Tom Brady, but it was right after Tom Brady had the year where the Patriots went undefeated and he threw for 50 touchdown passes. It was like 3 years later and Aaron Rodgers was having a great year. And Adam Schefter says, we've never seen a quarterback have a season like this. And I was like, we literally just did, though. We did. And then I got blocked on Twitter for a second because I called him out.
My favorite thing is seeing the Albert Breer that'll say, this was a real tweet. What Bill O'Brien did at Houston is becoming more and more impressive by the day.
Wait, can we pause on that for a second, though? Okay, he was a terrible general manager. Was it really that catastrophic?
No, I'm on Team Bill O'Brien as a coach. But for Albert Breer to tweet that when he's tweeted...
Yeah, they clearly have a relationship. Puppet. The way that... It does feel puppet-esque.
It feels puppetish.
I'm not denying that. But I don't think he's wrong there. I like O'Brien. A lot of things were very frustrating about him.
Right.
But I mean, are we kidding ourselves? O'Brien
loved
was better.
You.
O'Brien was better. We had an interesting relationship.
Doesn't matter, Brian.
O'Brien was better than Cully. I mean,
yeah. Well,
it's not like it's a high bar to clear, right? Yeah, you're welcome.
Hot
for that.
Take. Bill O'Brien was better than David Cully.
I mean, look, they were 9-7 the first 3 years, despite having Brock Osweiler the year where Deshaun Watson goes down. I mean, I think that team would have probably been in the same kind of conversation. And then the 2 years after that, I mean, they were what, 11-5, 12-4, something like that. So, I mean, there were some good teams. It's just, you know, when it hit the fan, geez, it really hit the fan.
We just got a text. 5774 says, "Why don't y'all date? You both singles."
Well, I'm not tall enough per Vanessa. I'm not tall enough, as we found out yesterday. I'm too short. I am just 5'11", 6 feet tall in boots. And she thinks that I'm a liar, a massive liar, because I write that I'm 6 feet tall in my dating profiles.
You're not 6 feet tall.
It says it on my license, government issued.
You're not 6 feet tall.
But it says it on my license.
But if I got out a ruler, there would not be six.
I actually am curious. I have not been measured in a while. I'm actually curious as to how tall I legitimately am right now.
Media cares.
Spike my hair up a little bit. Look like more like a Japanese cartoon. Maybe that'll work.
We're talking media moves. I literally cannot with these texters, because the things that they say are just absurd. But we love them all, of course. All right, media moves. If you could see one former quarterback or coach in the booth, who would it be? We're now hearing from Front Office Sports that Sean Payton could move to the number one slot with Joe Buck, which I think would surprise a lot of people. I think it'll be interesting to see. That means that the number two crew of Greg Olson would stay the same. And who will be joining Troy Aikman? I don't think they're going to keep Steve Levy.
No, I honestly, if I'm ESPN, it makes the most sense in the world to try to lure Joe Buck over. But if I'm Joe Buck and I've been calling World Series games for my whole life.
Yeah, that's his legacy.
And my dad's a famous baseball broadcaster. Right. I don't think he would be willing to give that up. And I mean, what is he going to do? Sunday Night Baseball or something like that too?
Right.
No, Joe Buck is big time. Joe Buck was doing World Series, what, in like the early 90s, you know?
At a really young age, right. Which we know, you know. But he is really good. He's become his own and
a lot of people don't like him, though. A lot of people don't like him.
Well, that's because people are victims that think that the refs are always against their team and that Joe Buck hates the Astros.
Especially here. You know, we were talking earlier at the beginning of the segment, like, have you ever muted a broadcast? How many times I muted Rockets broadcasts? It's been a lot. Because constantly, the dive, and this was a bad trait of Bill Worrell, who I know is a Houston legend, but they would always dive into this deep rabbit hole of like, oh my God, the call 7 minutes ago. Let's focus on that for the rest of the game. The refs are always out to get us. And then when Harden was constantly flopping for calls, it was just a perfect storm of
that's not a bad point.
Please, thank you.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, MLB and MLBPA not getting very far, plus some more reports about Carlos Correa. That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
So Vanessa's going to Nashville this weekend on a bachelorette party.
No, it's not a bachelorette party.
I'm just kidding. But that's what everyone goes to Nashville for bachelorette parties.
Believe it or not, I actually go for live music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, I love. I'm the anti you. I love music. And Nashville, if you hit the right spots and you don't go too, like, with all seriousness, if you don't go too commercial, if you go to the right spots, there's amazing music.
Well, now, first off, a little erroneous. I do like music. I just don't know any of it. As evidenced by yesterday,
erroneous,
going into the show with Ludacris, I did not know that that song was titled Fantasy. Your Fantasy? My Fantasy? I didn't know.
The funniest thing.
I didn't know the song,
the
though.
Funniest thing was Paul saying, I said, okay, I want to intro this segment with What's Your Fantasy by Ludacris. And he goes, I don't know that song. And I was like, yeah, you do. And he said, well, sing it. It's an awkward song. So I'm like, all right, well, the song starts out with,
right. Lick,
I want
to
lick you from your head to your toes.
Which is a weird thing to say to your co-host, but it's fine.
But you asked.
Yeah, you know, I didn't ask for that, though, HR, if you're listening. No, I didn't do that. So You're going to Nashville to visit some friends. Okay. So we talked about this on the air, and we will get back to sports. This is one of those rather slow days. But you are staying with an awkward situation, potentially. Or you have perhaps removed yourself from the awkward situation. Okay, so share with the class, because I got a kick out of the story.
So I'm meeting one of my best friends there. She's driving from Indianapolis.
Okay.
And it works out perfectly because when she drives back, I will join her in her car and we'll drive back together because I'm going to Indy to cover the NFL Combine.
Right.
So the timing worked out perfectly. We have a male friend that we met a few years ago at the Indy 500 that we're really good friends with. He lives in Nashville, so we have visited him before.
And one person in this group is really good friends with him, huh?
Yeah, and
you know
it's
what I'm
not
saying?
Me.
not
so,
you. Correct.
The last time we were in Nashville, we are a trio, and, you know, they've kind of had a thing in the past, which, hey, we're in our 20s.
We're in a trio, but not there.
Yeah, but it's not menage a trois. Yeah, not menage a trois trio.
Right.
Like, we're a trio of friends. So they, you know, they've like had a kind of a thing in the past, whatever. It's great. I just could hear it happening. I could hear it happening.
So you're not staying with them because of this, right?
So I decided to get a hotel room because with all seriousness, not that you're ever going to get a lot of sleep in Nashville. But I do want to have a couple of nights of decent sleep before I cover the NFL Combine because I'll be doing our show live from the Combine.
What she's saying is her friends are going to be like rabbits all over this
place.
They
may engage in premarital activities.
Premarital activities, and they're very loud with these premarital activities. There's an age where if you stay in group with a bunch of people, where there are going to be some people in the group who will start to actually draw lines, and they're like, okay, I don't want this. So it's good that you're doing this early.
Well,
but I would, if I were in your shoes, I would suck it up and I would 100% want to not pay for a hotel room.
Right, but I'm okay. I'm one of those people to where, like, I'm actually okay paying for a hotel room if it makes my experience on a trip. Because if my parents are listening or any of my friends that are listening, like, I'm very grouchy when I don't get a good night's sleep.
Oh.
And it has to be a good night's sleep. Like, I sleep with headphones in.
Really?
With a sleep mask over my eyes, and I have to have a fan on. I am high maintenance when it comes to sleep.
How do you wake up?
Temperature has to be at 69 degrees. What?
Oh, nice. How do you wake up?
An alarm.
But you have headphones in.
But it's like headphones like this.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to have a fan on. It has to be 69 degrees. Nice. I have a cover over my face. I am high maintenance when it comes to sleeping.
Okay.
So it's not them, it's me.
Okay, it's you.
But I am at... It's interesting you say that age, because I am at that age where if I go somewhere, I want to sleep comfortably, and I am willing to spend an extra couple $100s to do so.
And I am someone who will look to save as much money as possible because I'm cheap.
That's usually me.
Yeah.
But when it comes to sleep, I splurge.
I don't blame you. I was on a bachelor party once. We did not have enough beds at the place that we went to, and I was the last person to get there. And since no one told me that there was one place that was in this back room, I literally slept on the floor. And I was trying my hardest to not whine about it the next day because
would not have done that.
I didn't have anywhere to go. I was like, okay, fine. I guess I'm sleeping on the floor. And it was the worst. I didn't say anything about it the whole trip, though. I was quiet. I wanted to complain so bad, but I didn't want to make it about me.
Well, I didn't complain when that happened. I mean, whatever. But
can you guys be less loud?
Actually, I did complain the next morning.
Yeah,
that was a lie.
Did you complain or did you make a passive aggressive comment?
I made a very passive aggressive comment.
Like, oh, you guys were up late.
Yeah,
wink,
it was
wink.
Actually, kind of exactly that. But I love them both dearly, and I will have a hotel room in Nashville so that I can get a couple of good nights sleep before I hit the NFL Combine in Indy. All right, MLB and MLBPA, shocker, shocker, shocker. They have not made much progress, according to all of the guys that would know Jeff Passan, the Ken Rosenthals of the world, of course. And that we expect 3 days until it starts really impacting games as far as like straight up canceled games.
At least that's what they're saying. I there's a part of me that doesn't believe them because they have to realize that if they're going to once again bungle opening day, that people are going to be on them, and they should be. I mean, look, 2020, there was a pandemic. I get it.
Right.
And last year, I get it to an extent because there are restrictions in so many different counties about people who were allowed there. But in 2020, when they were negotiating, that season started a lot longer than it should have. We had it felt like a 4-week waiting pattern, holding pattern, where we weren't 100% sure when things were going to start. And then they finally started, and it was great that we had baseball during the pandemic, seeing as the only sports that we had had up to that point over that long, long football offseason was the Michael Jordan documentary. Like, right. That was it. It was great.
And Tiger King.
That's true. Tiger King, too. There's some other documentaries that
Carol came out along Baskin.
Carol Baskin. But now we go back to where they're at this point. They have an opportunity to have a real opening day for the first time since 2019, in 3 years. And that they are so, okay, yeah, I guess we're just going to, if a deal isn't reached by Monday, we're just done. It's just so short-sighted. And they should not leave the room that they're in negotiating. And they should have been negotiating a lot earlier than this. This self-imposed deadline that maybe baseball didn't take seriously until the league said, no, seriously, this is the deadline. Maybe it spurs some sort of agreement, but it doesn't feel like that's going to happen because there's been minimal progress based off of everybody who's covering the accords.
One of the biggest stories of the offseason that doesn't have to do with MLBPA is Carlos Correa. Where is he going to land and how much money he will make? And you had some news on that. You brought this to my attention, and I'm glad you did.
Yes. So here's what we got, and it's from two different people. First off, John Heyman. And John Heyman just blocked me on Twitter.
And so he loves you, right?
Yeah. Well, I call him a Boris shill, which, you know.
You called him a what?
A shill for Scott Boris.
Oh, the agent.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know that that's completely inaccurate, though.
Yeah.
I think he's Albert Breer and Bill O'Brien.
He was tweeting about some guy that, like, wasn't even in baseball anymore. And he was saying, like, yeah, he's a real capable veteran. I was like, the guy's not good anymore. No, he's not. So I just said, like, this was written by Scott Boris, huh? And he got mad. I think he might have had a couple of drinks. He tweeted a couple of things to me.
Oh.
It didn't really make a whole lot of sense. And then he blocked me. So I didn't get to actually read any of them. But anyway, the news when it comes to Juan Carlos Correa, per John Heyman, is as follows. The Yankees called on him before the lockout. But apparently Corey Seager, they were maybe more interested in. Kyle Seager was looking for more money than Corey Seager got. $325 million. And Heyman also listed some other potential fits for Correa: Atlanta, the Cubs, the Dodgers, Angels, Houston, Toronto, Detroit, San Francisco, St. Louis, and Boston. Then we have Ken Rosenthal. Ken Rosenthal said that the Astros could potentially be willing and content to turn things over to shortstop Jeremy Peña after the five-year, $160 million offer that they made. That's less than half of what he is looking for. So Rosenthal suggests that there's a lot of teams that maybe no longer have that same kind of interest in Carlos Correa, that the Boston Red Sox would be the ideal place for him to go to, and that he would be probably looking for over $34.1 million a year, which is what Francisco Lindor got from the Mets.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, he's seeing players get the bag, and he's seeing the long-term deals. I actually don't fault owners for not wanting to give players long-term deals that are a decade, because it just does not work out. I mean, it just typically does not work out, and those deals are so often front-loaded, and the owners that make those deals basically just realize the back end of this is not going to benefit us.
Right, but if they can't get out from it, and that's why you see someone like Albert Pujols, who was not Albert Pujols anymore with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, looking the way that he did, and you're like, well, we can't do anything about it. The Yankees with Jacoby Ellsbury. A lot of these big deals that sign, they end up backfiring by the end. You're 100% right. And in the case of Carlos Correa, I would be hesitant if I'm the Astros, and I don't really know just how much money they feel comfortable slinging around. You know, it's not the Yankees, it's not the Red Sox, it's not the Dodgers. Then I can understand why they would say this, but it is a bit of a bummer to me to hear them saying that. Rosenthal is definitely hearing that from someone who is connected, where he's saying that the Astros seem content to turn over to Jeremy Peña. Now, that either means there's been a complete lack of action as far as contact between the Astros and Correa, or that potentially means that he is hearing that they're already acting as if Jeremy Peña is their starting shortstop. And either way, that's a disappointment to me, even though I realize how fiscally irresponsible it would be to give Correa that big-time extension.
Yeah, Peña is the fiscally responsible thing to do, but to your point, I mean, I don't think that that's a name that Astros fans are going to hear and say, yay, I'm glad he's replacing. Whoever replaces Carlos Correa in that starting lineup, should he not return to the Astros, has really big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
Not only what he does on the field, but, I mean, we've talked about how great Carlos Correa was when he defended his team to Ken Rosenthal. If you don't know the facts, shut the F up.
I loved it.
And that was incredible.
He's calling out Cody Bellinger along the way, and it was fantastic. I really enjoyed that. And I'm going to miss that. And the idea of seeing him on one of the teams that the Astros was competing against especially the Yankees, who I, you know, even if I'm not a Red Sox fan anymore, I hate the Yankees or the Red Sox. It doesn't feel right. We've seen this before, though. I've seen this before as a fan growing up. It was very weird when Johnny Damon left the Boston Red Sox for the New York Yankees, and I think it was like not long after he had won the World Series with Boston. You know, all of a sudden he's going over there. It's always weird to see a great player who is still great go to a team that you play against on a regular basis, because it's
My dad loves the Packers, so Favre to the Vikings.
Eventually, yeah, that must have been awkward.
And then the biggest one for me, of course, you can probably guess.
Manning to the Broncos.
I mean, it was, and to see him win a Super Bowl with them was so, so, so bittersweet.
Setting the record-setting season the year before that, too.
You don't hate it. It's just not your favorite thing that's ever happened.
I would have been more annoyed about him setting all of those records with Denver and not with Indy. Because considering what he had to work with in Indy, where he had Marvin Harrison and he had Reggie Wayne and he had Edgerrin James for a time, and the numbers were never quite what they were in Denver with a slightly less supporting cast, I would say.
Yeah. By the way, Bob Sanders' birthday was yesterday.
It was?
We love you, Bob. At least I love you.
I actually did like Bob Sanders.
When he was healthy, man, he could get it. All right,
that's the only reason Peyton Manning has a Super Bowl with Indianapolis. Bob Sanders.
You are going to be strangled. coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, quick hits. An NBA former NBA star offers something very interesting with the body part. Harden makes his debut. We'll go through all of it coming up next.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 at 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
So we got a number text to our text line. I understand why the Astros wouldn't re-sign Carlos, but it sure feels like the beginning of the end. Yeah, I mean, it feels like something that had to happen and eventually was bound to happen.
Yeah, that's what I felt going into this offseason. But they were able to re-sign Justin Verlander, which I also did not think was going to happen.
I don't think anybody thought that would happen.
Right, especially with the way that last year went, which was just awkward, where no matter whether or not he actually would have been able to pitch in the World Series, and some people think he would have been because he was throwing in a simulation and he threw close to 100 or something like that, I think it was very weird that he was away from the team as much as he was. And I can understand how some in the clubhouse might have kind of felt like they moved on from him because he wasn't there very often. That is weird. And I wonder how Verlander makes up for that this coming season. But, you know, in an offseason where they could have lost Verlander and Correa, and I think it's safe to assume that they will not have Correa this coming season, not even just based off of these reports, just based off of what he's probably looking for, which is $300 million. That would have definitely felt like, wow, are they going to be able to do 6 American League Championship Series in a row? I mean, this is an unprecedented run.
Right.
And all it takes is one missing card potentially to keep you from getting back to where they've been the last couple.
The Verlander thing was weird because he tried to frame it on Twitter as I've just been in Florida training, or man, because somebody asked him, Roosh or somebody asked him, and it was like he responded, man, I would have loved to have been there. But let's make one thing clear. If Justin Verlander wanted to support his teammates last season, he could have come to one of the many suites he has access to.
Yeah, it would have been very easy.
He could have taken his private jet after a training session of throwing and come to a game. He didn't. So I didn't think we would see. I mean, if you would have actually asked me last season who was more likely to come back, I would have actually said Carlos Correa, because Justin Verlander seemed so checked out and like he did not care at all. And then
and he might have, too, cared, by the way. But the perception is the perception.
The perception was the perception, and he literally didn't come.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to understand, like, you guys watch sports. When a player is injured, they're still sitting on the bench or the sideline, or they come to a suite, or they do something. And they always say, it hurts not to be out there, but I'm here for the team. In every sport. Like, mm-hmm. That's not a weird thing. And no. Justin Verlander was never at Minute Maid Park.
You know, something you said there, too, I was listening to the Killer Bees yesterday, and they touched on this, and it had to do with, you know, Lance McCullers talking with our friend and talking about his rehab process, where McCullers said, like, hey, I don't have the ability to access the team facilities and stuff. And I thought Joel brought up a pretty good point about how look, well, Verlander was accessing his own guys on the side. Like, you know,
it's McCullers, a great point.
McCullers throwing that out there, you can definitely see how that might be him just trying to paint the owners in a bad light. So it's like, hey, the players aren't the bad guy. These guys all have money. They all have access to some sort of rehab facilities. I would probably trust, though, the team facilities more than I would trust. Maybe that's bad. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Doesn't make any sense the more that I think about it, because they probably want to have you out there as quickly as possible if you've suffered an injury, even if it could potentially risk further injury.
That was strategic. Lance saying that was strategic, because let's make something clear. Half of these guys don't even use the team trainers when they're not in season. They have their own guy. They have their own, I mean, this isn't a joke because the Deshaun, they have their own masseuses.
Mm.
They have their own health gurus. I did a couple of local news stories on chefs that provide off-season meals to players. So it is very normal for guys of all sports to do their own thing. Lance McCullers Jr. saying that was a little poke. And he's not wrong. I mean, you factually speaking cannot get into the facility during the lockout. But did he have to say that? Can he use his own trainer?
Baseball's players like to poke for the sake of poking.
They do. They poke.
And you know, we'll see if this actually helps with a resolution, but I doubt it will, because these owners just seem to be so proud and obstinate. Obtuse, even, if you will.
Obtuse, if you will. I like that. Meanwhile, James Harden making his debut tonight for the 76ers.
More like debut.
Got him.
That was...
Yeah, it was bad. Look, I hope it's terrible. So I don't care if it makes me sound petty or like a hater. It just triggers me that there are people in this city that still support the guy.
Yeah, still stand up for him and act like he did anything. Yeah.
I know. I never liked him. I never enjoyed watching for him. But, I mean, even if you did enjoy watching him, he literally left town and flicked you off on the way out of town.
I don't think the situation can be resolved as he exited the press conference. That game is against the Timberwolves. I think it'll be interesting to see him alongside his new teammates.
Joel Embiid, and especially
Embiid,
him.
That pairing, I think, is going to be great to see.
It could...
Could
work.
Great is a not the right word. Interesting to see.
No, you could say great. I mean, it could be great. You know,
could be.
I think Harden is underrated as a distributor. I think anyone that followed him and would get mad about the fact that he wasn't getting inserted into the MVP conversation would be 100% correct in that when Mike D'Antoni moved him to point guard, essentially, I mean, he was really good at distributing. My issues with him are just I think he takes too many threes, and I think he doesn't drive as much to the lane as he used to, and I think he's slowing down a little bit, but. That could work. I wonder about how Joel Embiid's going to feel about someone as ball dominant as Harden, maybe not playing off Embiid. That's really the big key. That was always the frustrating thing with Chris Paul here, is that Harden doesn't really do anything off the ball. And with Embiid underneath and, you know, backing people down or doing whatever the hell he does out there, Harden could be extremely good in a complimentary role to him. But just based off of having watched him the last couple of years, he's not usually willing to do all those extra things to get himself open. He kind of just stands off to the side and waits for his turn to be the one with the basketball.
Was he wearing a fat suit?
That's a great question. I think he's got an awkwardly built body.
Okay.
That's at least my idea. I don't know, though.
But a body that can look like he's lost 20 pounds over the course of a week?
I mean...
Now, and this is coming from somebody who, like, my weight fluctuates, like, really easily.
Okay.
Like one bad week of eating, I'm up 4 pounds.
Okay. Before, he was not, he didn't look up 4, though.
Yeah, it was like 20.
Right. And then he looks so different. I think he's just got a weird body and that the wrong angle can catch him looking very, very thick. Like, I don't think it's changed.
He's all about the angle.
That much. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's going to be you in Nashville this weekend.
That is not, what do you think I'm going to sound like in Nashville this weekend?
Exactly like you just sounded. Oh my God, girls! Let's go to brunch. Bottomless mimosas! And then you're going to have a cheers. And then all of a sudden there's going to be a picture up and there's going to be a terrible caption underneath it like, blessed to be here and all sorts of things like that.
You must not follow me on social media.
I mean, no. I know who you are. I know who the real person is right in front of me. You are very down to earth. You're very cool. I want to know, though, what things are like when you start hanging out with other girls, because let's be honest, there are other girls that are not like that. There's a lot of girls
that
act in
that
basic.
That's true, but I'm going with my best girl, Kaylee, who
is she basic?
She is really, really cool.
Okay.
And we're hanging out with our friend Gio, who is a man.
Okay.
So it's not good. We're not going to be like at the murals, like, I believe in Nashville.
Oh my God. But those are such good murals.
They are. They are good murals.
I'm going to go get a picture.
You
next
think
to
Nashville's
going to
change me?
Yeah, I might. No.
Hey,
I've been to Nashville before. You have actually have. So
I've been to Nashville once. Have you?
I'm not welcome in the state of Tennessee because I constantly dump on the Titans because I think that
you
their fans
do.
Are total idiots.
Yeah, we had Warren Moon on and Paul's like, you should never go to Nashville.
Never go back. Ever again. It's a trap. They're cannibals. I've said that before. I don't know if that's actually true, but I just like to believe it to be. Their fans, they're the stupidest NFL fans. They really are. They're just complete morons. They thought Ryan Tannehill was good. They thought Mariota was good. They're just complete imbeciles. Anyway.
Meanwhile, Shaquille O'Neal has had an interesting thing to say. These guys always have fun about a certain body part.
Inside the NBA.
Hold on. I'll do it.
No, you won't.
I'll do it.
What constitutes that it's frozen?
Below.
It's frozen.
Below 32 degrees.
No, but what constitutes that it's just not cold? Like, you know, when is it turned from cold to it's frozen?
Frozen?
Yeah. Like I know when water turns to ice.
Yeah.
I know that. I know that how it happens.
Let it go.
Let it go. I'm just trying to figure it out. Like, what's the constitution? Say he's frozen.
Because it's frozen.
No, it's frozen. What constitutes frozen? What constitutes?
You know when something's frozen? All right, I'm not going to say it, but maybe it's popsicle-ish.
Like, oh, you said it. I'm not going to say it.
No, but just go to Shaq in the food.
So he's talking about the Norwegian guy who allegedly froze his Ramelan
during
ding-dong.
The Olympics.
Yeah, look, it's going to be an eggplantsicle. It's fine.
Shaq and the guys from that show talking about frozen junk on live TV is why that's the best studio show on television.
Yeah, I was bummed out. I mean, Charles Barkley, it sounds like only two more years or something
like
that.
Yeah, but
show.
Charles has always kind of pulled that. I think Charles is going to be on TV for a while, but he's also the kind of guy that you could see disappearing for like a year. And like,
honestly, I can't imagine my life without Charles Barkley in some way, shape, or form. He's been a part of basketball for such a long period of time. Like, even if he's not a player anymore, if I don't have Shaquille O'Neal dumping on San Antonio for all the women liking churros, then I don't know what to do with my life.
We're talking about frozen junk on air.
And yeah, I mean, I think if we're going to be honest about that, it would have to actually be frozen. Just 32 degrees is not enough.
It's the best show on television.
I felt like I was freezing my you-know-whats off, though, yesterday at the cook-off. My God, it is so cold this weekend.
Did you have fun with your parents?
I had a great time. My mom was dancing all over the place. It was a great time, but good God, it was cold. This cold front sucks.
Well, Nashville will be cold this weekend. Just a reminder, I'll be in Indianapolis all of next week doing our show live from there at the NFL Combine. I'm going to go to the press conferences. Get a couple perspectives on where the Texans are at. You will be holding it down here, but we will be live every day. Lots of fun content. Lance Zierlein is going as well. All right, that's a Friday for Vanessa and Gallant. Thanks, guys,
for
tuning in.
So long, farewell. Peace.
Talk to you soon.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.